stupid.
Just wave your hands at us so we don't say anything stupid. All right.
And that goes anytime, Steve.
Yeah, don't wear yourself out.
We're going to be on the are we going to be have web video? Streaming video or not?
There was a lot of new programming done that allows for more separation of things, and split screens, and use of the projector. None of which is relevant to you or helps you in your job. Yeah. Well, that is one of my strong suits. Yeah. In fact, my career would be much better if we didn't have video at all, everywhere, anywhere. The older I get, the more I prefer print medium.
Oof, large font, too.
In large font, yeah. Well, yeah, no, I think that's just a, huh?
It is, okay.
Okay, great, thanks.
All right. Good morning. It is just after 10 a.m. North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room. This is a North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're meeting on the 12th floor of the state capitol today. It is Wednesday, April 6, 2011. This is Tony Clark, Commission Chairman. I'm joined today by my fellow commissioners, Brian Calk and Kevin Kramer. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. And are there any opening remarks from my fellow commissioners?
Good morning and welcome. We've got a full agenda.
Good morning and welcome. And I just share a quick note. On Monday morning, I had the opportunity to go to Monticello and tour Xcel's nuclear plant. It was the first time I had a chance to go through one of those, and I figured given the discussion going on in the world, it was a good time to get down there, but it was a fascinating tour.
Okay.
And I feel pretty confident that we were doing the right things in the Midwest.
When I toured it, I couldn't get out of there. I was so radioactive. Literally.
That's they made sure.
They held me for a long time.
They held him back up.
I made the mistake of wearing dress pants.
I made sure I wore cotton clothes, not the Kramer leisure suit. So.
that's good. Good idea.
Yeah. Polyester. Polyester.
Yeah, polyester is tough.
I couldn't resist, Kevin.
He's a little old. That was good.
All right. With that, we have some items on consent. Is there a motion?
I move passage of the consent agenda.
Second.
Items.
All in favor?
Aye.
Items TC1 and 2 have been withdrawn. TC3 has been added. Having discovered an error in the March 24th, 2011 report and recommendation of the trustee, I move the commission rescind its March 24th, 2011 motion to file the report and recommendation of trustee with district court. I further move the commission file the revised report and recommendation of trustee with district court, recommending that the trust fund proceeds in this case be distributed to the claimant based upon his valid cash sale claim, that proceeds from credit sale contract indemnity be distributed amongst the claimants based on their valid credit sale contract claims, that the commission's expenses be paid as provided by state law, and that once court approval is obtained, claimants be paid as soon as possible in Organic Grain and Milling Inc.'s Grain Warehouse Insolvency Case Number GE 10-327.
Second.
Basically, this just relates to one particular claim that was on the claimant list that was passed at our last commission meeting. Kodiak Farms had their attorney filed a request with the PSC after our meeting to change the claim amount against Organic Grain and Milling from $177,623.44 to $150,340.54. This is a credit sale contract claim. Basically, it was just after reviewing their the payments of Organic Grain to Kodiak, the attorney amended that claim. So the motion before us would just amend our commission report and recommendation as such.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Calk.
Good morning. Item Item BK1. I move the commission adopt the order granting the request of Montana Dakota Utilities Company for a waiver of 49 CFR Part 192.285 regarding requalifications of a person making a plastic pipe joint, case number GS10585. On September 14th of last year, MDU filed an application for a waiver of the appropriate parts of the federal regulation. Since the initial filing, actually, MDU did two different revisions were filed with the commission. Basically, the law says that the federal law says a person must be requalified under the appropriate procedure if during a 12-month period they do not make any joints or they have three joints or 3% that fail. What MDU was asking for in this case was a waiver by the state, being, of course, us, that they change the parameters to the requalification period be extended to 15 months, and that if they have one joint or one joint that fails, they have to be requalified. So basically, we had a work session on this, put a notice opportunity for hearing, no comments were received. What we actually have is MDU is agreeing to a more stringent standard, but by changing it to a 15-month period, it allows them to do their training when they're not busy doing the work during the construction season. So it makes good sense to me, and everything's in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item BK2. I move the commission issue a contract for consulting services to Blue Ridge Consulting Services, Inc. and Northern State Power Company's electric rate increase applications, case number PU10657 and PU11-55.
Second.
What we have here today is the potentially the issuing of the contract to Blue Ridge, and the contract, they will assist the staff in Xcel's pending rate case. Staff will use the Blue Ridge Corporation to help them review infrastructure and investment developments. The background on this, we actually received three bids that met the requirements. All were from out-of-state firms. The cap on this contract is priced at $190,000, and the contract is currently scheduled to expire June 30th of 2012. And speaking to me personally, that we used something similar to this during the MDU rate case. I found it to be very helpful, and looking forward to moving forward in the rate case.
All in favor?
Aye.
That concludes the items in my portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. KC1, I move the commission schedule an informal conference on surface coal mining permit application SHSH1001 filed by South Hart Coal LLC.
Second.
The application for the South Hart Coal Mine in Stark County, which is for just under 4,600 acres, was received just over a year ago. It was deemed complete earlier this year by the reclamation staff. The deeming of a application complete puts into motion a series of processes, the first one being while the staff looks at and considers technical deficiencies, the clock begins for the public input portion. From the deeming of a complete application, the company has to file or has to put in the local newspaper, that both the county newspaper and then the daily newspapers in the circulation area, four notices, one per week for 4 weeks. At the end of the last notice, the public then has 30 more days in which to request an informal conference. Of course, the first notice was not even written before several requests for an informal conference were received, and since then several others have been. That clock has now run its time, and so we will. So today, by today's motion, we are noticing that informal conference. The notice is hereby given that the caption matter is set for an informal conference commencing at 10 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time on June 28th, 2011, in the Beck Auditorium located on the Dickinson State University campus in Dickinson. And then an evening session will begin at 7 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time the same day for those unable to attend the daytime session or for those who might want to attend both sessions. I think for the purpose of clarification, it is important to note that this is not the way that we traditionally do things with regard to our other responsibilities for siting permits. Permit citing certificates, corridor certificates, things like that, that in the issuance of a mining permit, the informal conference is the public's opportunity to present their input not to the commission, but rather to the staff and to an administrative law judge, who then uses that information along with the application and the information from the company, of course, to then make a recommendation to the commission. After the commission acts on the recommendation, then the public, should they decide, or the company, should they decide to appeal, has the opportunity then to appeal, after which time there could be a formal hearing. Everything seems to be in order, and we'll look forward to, I'm sure, an exciting day in Dickinson, June 28th.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
KC2, I move the commission approve revision number 21 to surface coal mining permit NAFK9503 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to identify the next five-year coal removal subareas and to update mining and reclamation plans and other information for the next permit term.
Second.
We have in front of us two Falkirk revisions and of course, the after the permit revisions is always the five-year renewal. This is pretty standard procedure. It's just basically informing the commission and the public of the coal removal plans, the pit area, and then all of the other stuff that sort of surrounds that, business entities, ownership issues, and anything else that might be unique within the next 5 years in a particular coal mine. And then every 5 years, they do it all again. So everything's in order. This plan, as well as the next one, were deemed, of course, to be significant by the reclamation staff, and so all of the notice requirements were met, and there were no concerns raised by the public.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
KC3, then. I move the commission approve renewal number 3 to surface coal mining permit number NAFK9503 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to extend the permit term another 5 years until April 17th, 2016.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
KC4, I move the commission approve revision number 27 to surface coal mining permit number NAFK8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to identify the next five-year coal removal subareas and to update other information and mining reclamation plans for the next five-year permit term.
Second.
This is just another revision, much like the previous one. Most of the same issues, of course, including sort of the pit area and where the active coal mining will take place.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And to complement that is KC5. I move the commission approve renewal number 5 to surface coal mining permit number NAFK8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years until April 15th, 2016.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That ends items in my portfolio.
Very good. And that ends the items that are on the agenda. I'll highlight a few upcoming meetings that the commission is going to be holding prior to our next regularly scheduled commission meeting, which is on April 20th. We have one formal hearing. Actually, it's two formal hearings technically at one venue, and that's Friday, April 15th in the Anexco Maricourt Wind Power Project and the transmission line that is associated with it, which is actually an MDU application. Those are both in Ellendale at the Dickey County Courthouse. We haven't heard anything to the contrary. We can chat about that if you have questions in our Q&A. We have coming up on April 14th, the AML bid opening for the 2011 major construction projects. That's at 11 a.m. here in the commission hearing room. And then one special meeting that I would draw to your attention. That afternoon, Thursday, April 14th, at 1 o'clock, we're holding an EPA symposium in the Brynhild Haugland room. The purpose of that is for the commission to educate itself as well as any members of the public or other interested parties, legislators, other policymakers, with regard to EPA regulations that are going to be coming up that will affect utility companies and their consumers. Basically, there are a whole host of proposed EPA regulations that are coming down the line, and it's important for the commission to understand how it's going to affect each of our utilities. We have a couple of very good speakers who will help educate us and anybody else, I assume, who's there on some very technical matters. We're going to have an opening presentation by David Glott, who's the chief of the Environmental Health Section of the North Dakota Health Department. He's going to give us basically an EPA 101 to help us understand what all of the acronyms and things that are going on in the EPA mean and how they're implemented at a state level. And then he's going to be followed by Jeffrey Holmstead, who's a former assistant administrator of the U.S. EPA for air and radiation. He was basically one of the folks who actually administered this particular office, and so he's very familiar with the laws that that the EPA promulgates and how that rulemaking process happens. And we're looking forward to his presentation as well. Following those presentations, we're going to have a roundtable discussion with each of our utilities, so that we, as a commission, and the public has a better understanding of what the regs potentially mean over the next 20 years or more on each of the utility companies' fleets, understanding that each utility has a little bit different fleet and it may impact each of them differently. So it's going to be a public event, and everyone is welcome to attend. With that, are there any questions?
Are you going to still have the AmeriCorps?
You're going to still have the AmeriCorps hearing?
As far as we know, it's up to the applicant if they'd wish to pull the application. We haven't heard anything to the contrary. It's certainly possible that that they might. It's far along enough in the process that as a company they may still wish to site it. And if they receive a site permit, they could construct it themselves as a merchant plant, sell it to another provider. There are a number of different options that might be available to them.
So an EXCO can proceed on its own?
Correct.
It does not have a purchaser.
Correct. The site, and this has happened in other cases, where you have a project developer who's actually siting a project, and they may not have a purchaser at that particular time. The siting process is really separate from the marketing of the power process.
Did you, I mean, this was mentioned at the meeting 2 weeks ago. Essentially, Xcel says that they are withdrawing from this project because of considerations about birds. Do you think that this is a pretext for them to pull out of a project that they
don't have an interest in? I don't know. You know, Xcel had a call with staff late last week where they expressed similar sentiments that it had to do with the Endangered Species Act and the permitting of this. I personally, it seems like there may be more to the story there, and I'm interested in having a conversation at the appropriate time with Xcel. To be perfectly honest, the type of concerns and the process that was engaged with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was very similar to other projects that we've previously cited in the state, and the topography of this area doesn't appear to be much different than a number of other wind farms that have been cited. So I'm curious to learn more about Xcel's rationale for why this is happening. One of the noteworthy things about this is they applied for and received under state law both a certificate of need and an advanced determination of prudence on this. So in addition to just the general questions about the siting process, the commission no doubt will have questions about how this impacts both the need certificate as well as their determination of prudence.
But just Dale, I just want to take that a step farther, what Commissioner Clark said, is that, I mean, right away when I heard this, I mean, I'll take it a step farther, that the commission has worked with companies and cited projects in much more challenging areas than this area. This is in the edge of the Whipping Crane Flyway. We've cited projects that are right smack dab in the middle of the Whipping Crane Flyway. I mean, you look at the Basin Farm, that sits right in the middle of it. I think that the Fish and Wildlife Service, and what I've seen in past is what they're looking for here is not significantly different than what they've looked for before. I would certainly hope that the company is not using this as a reason to do something else, because I don't see this as nearly as challenging as some of the farms that have been out there. And these things were known before this project was ever started.
You know, I would have to say, though, on behalf of ratepayers of Xcel Energy, a $400 million investment is no small matter. And I think that if there are reasons, and if you'll go back to the basin, project, while we're not privy to the contractual relationships, and understandably so, with the Fish and Wildlife Service or the cost of mitigating the take or cover, you know, the this is where the conflict between advocates for citing more development projects in North Dakota and advocates for ratepayers can sometimes get a little bit iffy. So, again, I at this point, I have no reason to not take Xcel at their word that they have some concerns. I do know of projects that were being considered that have been withdrawn in this same general vicinity over whooping crane issues and piping plover issues and the mitigation costs and the liability of those. And I think one of the things that's somewhat unique, not really unique, but somewhat unique about this project is that it was a build-to-sell project. In other words, this project was being built by Inexco, hopefully still will be, and it seems, based on correspondence we received yesterday, that they plan to continue to build this project. Transfer of ownership by the end of this year to the utility also transfers liability. So a lot happens in the course of 2 years in this very fluid situation, and I do think Fish and Wildlife has become perhaps a little more attentive, if not even assertive, with regard to its protection of habitat and wildlife. So, you know, it's unfortunate perhaps, but at the end we don't know for sure that it is that unfortunate.
Is the correspondence you just mentioned, is that posted?
I don't know that it is. We just received it yesterday. It just appeared on my desk this morning.
I'd like to get a copy of that. But yeah, I'd be happy to. Your understanding is that Inexco continues to...
Well, let me read from the letter. It's a very short paragraph. On March 25th, 2011, Inexco Development Corporation, EDC, filed an application for reissuance of Certificate of Site Compatibility in the above-referenced docket. Please accept this letter as the request of EDC to withdraw that filing. EDC intends to proceed with the current docket and may request a transfer of its rights under the application or transfer the certificate as this matter moves forward. So basically what they're saying is that they intend to move forward at this point with the process and the hearing, and who it gets transferred to is, a future business relationship, no doubt.
So in other words, they intend to continue the planning for this project, and they may build it on spec or build it for someone else.
Either purchase power agreement. I mean, there's any number of
things. And that's happened in the past. I mean, you'll recall some other projects where the project developer has been at the stage where they're still soliciting input and soliciting buyers but don't have someone in particular on the hook. The PPM is the Iberdrola rugby is a good example of that. We cited that a couple of years before it actually got built. They eventually decided to build it on a merchant basis. At the same time, they were exploring PPAs and other mechanisms.
Yeah, because when I saw the Xcel Energy statement, I thought, this is outside the flyway, and also there are other wind projects in that area, and they did not.
Well, that's why I say I'm interested in getting more information about it from Xcel. They've indicated that it was Endangered Species Act concerns, and obviously we'll have a lot of questions, not only... even more so than the context of the siting case itself, in the context of the CPCN and the advanced determination of prudence.
Yeah, well, what happens to the ADP?
Well, the advanced determination of prudence, you'll remember in this in this case, there's a quirk in state law that states that the advanced determination of prudence is presumed to be, that a project is presumed to be prudent if it's built in state unless disproven. And so in this case, the staff didn't feel that they could build a case to disprove that, and so the determination of prudence was granted. But I mean, it was Xcel itself that sought that determination. It does not guarantee that they'll be allowed to recover costs. The commission still has the right to review that and to determine if they were reasonable in making the determinations that they've made. We have not received any filings as of yet from Xcel to determine what they plan to do with the existing CPCN or the advanced determination of prudence, but we'll be able to take that up at the appropriate time.
Can you tell me where Blue Ridge Consulting Services is located?
I just want to throw my two cents into this rest of this debate about the wind farm. It's even more complicated than what Commissioner Clark laid out, too, that we've got a pending rate case in front of us with Xcel Energy, and there's costs in the rate case that are tied back to this wind farm. So this whole deal is very complicated, and we need Xcel to come forward with what exactly is going on, because we got documentation here March 25th that basically said there was no validity to them backing out of the wind farm. And then we see April 1st, there's press releases that are coming out. So I'm very concerned that they come in front of us and tell us what exactly is going on, give us the right information, so we can figure out a path forward, because we've got ADP this is tied into, we've got a rate case that this is tied into, and we've also got a company trying to build a wind farm. So it's very complex, but we need Xcel to come forward with the full brief and tell us the facts, the truth, what's going on. So you can sense my frustration with Xcel Energy in this. Just tell us what's going on. So, but your question about Blue Ridge, Dale. I'm happy
where is it located?
They are located in, I think it's Kentucky. Is that right? Where's Mike? Where is it? Greenville, South Carolina. I stand corrected.
And can you tell me what the amount of the contract is?
It is not to exceed $190,000.
Okay. And please tell me again the date of the South Hart Coal informal conference.
June 28th.
June 28th. And the first one's at 10 a.m. local time in the Beck Auditorium.
That's correct.
And the second is at 7 p.m. on the same day.
That's correct.
Mountain time.
That's Beck correct. Auditorium.
Have you heard anything more about the rugby project, the rugby?
We're going to be hearing more this afternoon. We have an informal hearing scheduled specifically to talk about that particular siting application that we have in light of safety events that have happened. So we'll learn more this afternoon. We've heard a lot of interest expressed in that issue, though. Anything else? Okay, hearing none, we'll recommence in about 10 minutes, and we have a rather lengthy administrative agenda.